And we got into gambling. When I say gambling, primarily poker. And we played poker and we played poker until it became not just something that I liked doing, but I fell in love with it. And I went overboard. I lost everything I had during that 10 years. I had accumulated properties, got married, and I ended up losing all the properties that I accumulated. I lost my wife for 5 years. And I think I just lost it. I lost my focus. And so when you talk about how it happened to me, that's what happened. I just lost my focus and did something stupid and crazy. And I ended up going to the mental hospital. And from the mental hospital, 3 weeks, out on bond for about 6 months, and then serving 5 years in confinement in Ashland, Kentucky. Came out, tried to pull my life back together, and I think I did. I think I did an excellent job at it.
Welcome to Linda's Corner, where we bring more hope, healing, and happiness to the world. My name is Linda Bjork, and today we're going to be talking about making mistakes and embracing second chances. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. James W. Smith. Dr. James is a consultant, author, motivational speaker, former attorney, and retired pastor. You can learn more about Dr. James at his website, dealbyme.com, and I'll include a link in the show notes. Welcome, James. I'm so glad that you could join with me today.
Well, thank you. I'm happy and glad to be with you today. This is really a thrill.
Thank you. When we talk, just from the introduction, I mean, anyone who's listening can hear you are an articulate, intelligent, educated professional. So what I don't understand is how this intelligent, articulate, professional, educated, committed armed robbery? I mean, that just seems so incongruent. What happened?
Oh, I loved the way you asked that. That was really, really interesting. Well, let me tell you this. I'm just an ordinary person. Grew up in a small town, a little village that I always say, actually, when you enter it, you're leaving it. That's the way I always refer to it. Went to school in this little small village, graduated, went off to college, decided I wanted to go to law school, went to law school, came out, started practicing law at an early age. I was, as a matter of fact, the first and only African-American lawyer to practice in my hometown. I was the youngest African-American lawyer practicing in the state of North Carolina at that time. I was 26 years of age, thought I had kind of arrived, a little cocky and all of that. And I got with some other folk who were actually professionals, much older than I was. And we got into gambling. When I say gambling, primarily poker. And we played poker and we played poker until it became not just something that I liked doing, but I fell in love with it. And I went overboard. I lost everything I had during that 10 years. I had accumulated properties, got married, and I ended up losing all the properties that I accumulated. I lost my wife for 5 years. And I think I just lost it. I lost my focus. And so when you talk about how it happened to me, that's what happened. I just lost my focus and did something stupid and crazy. And I ended up going to the mental hospital. And from the mental hospital, 3 weeks, out on bond for about 6 months, and then serving 5 years in confinement in Ashland, Kentucky. Came out, tried to pull my life back together, and I think I did. I think I did an excellent job at it. Went to school, received my Master of Divinity, eventually getting my Doctor of Ministry, Was called to pastor church. Just retired in December, 2 months short of 33 years at the same church. I knew I was going to retire. I wanted to continue my ministry. And so I decided that I would start a podcast. Did a podcast about maybe 4 or 5 months before retiring. So I've been doing it now for probably about 7 or 8 months. Already, the one just I did just before we came on was my 91st podcast. So I'm doing beautiful. I love it. I also do church conflict work. I'm a consultant. So my life is full and I've enjoyed it. So that's what happened to me. You know, I have no excuse. I just lost my focus and I did something silly and crazy. But I came back, and in the midst of all of this, when people thought I would never do anything with the bar again, as a matter of fact, the bar chose me as a sponsor of ethics, mental health, and substance abuse for lawyers all across the state. I was one of two disbarred lawyers that did this for the state of North Carolina. I did it for 11 years. Just stopped doing it when COVID came in because I didn't want to continue to travel across the state doing it. But that's my life. And I've been excited, happy. And thank you for asking that question.
That is wonderful that you're willing to open up and to share. I think what we kind of want to focus on is, okay, so I lost my focus. Mm-hmm. I did something stupid and it mm-hmm. could be A, B, C or X, Y, Z. We mm-hmm. can do stupid things. So we want a second chance. We want to know that my life is not over because I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. So let's say we're talking to somebody who has made whatever mistake. How do you pull yourself back up and put your life back together and move forward?
Well, number one, you got to accept that you made a mistake. That's the first thing. You got to accept and confront the situation. I messed up. I did that while I was at the mental hospital for this 3 weeks. So when I went to prison, I had no illusion about me serving some time. I knew it was going to happen. Nobody could have done what I did and not get some time. So I was okay with that. I had come to the realization of that, and I just wanted to confront it, get it behind me, because I know that that was not me. And I was going to pull my life back together. That's what I did. And so you've got to confront it. You've got to deal with it. I just accept responsibility, you know, for it. You got to just, you know, not let it be an excuse for you coming back. You just got to make your mind up. And more than that, you got to have faith and confidence that you can do it. And I believe is, you know, my mom was very dedicated, committed Christian. So I grew up in a home that was Christian based. So it was always in me. But when this happened to me, I had to rely on it. And so it was my faith, I think, not that I think, I know it was my faith that kept me going and realized that I could get through this. And that's what I did.
That's so important. So the first step that you mentioned is that we have to acknowledge, we have to admit, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of courage. It is so much easier to deny or pretend that it didn't happen, or even just say, you know, I wasn't myself. That wasn't really me, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. So to be able to say, wow, I did this. I own this.
Yeah.
And
well,
now-
you know, at first, actually, I did. So I want to be upfront. At first, I did want to say that I had become a compulsive gambler, and that's the reason I did it. But then I later wanted to go talk to Gambling Anonymous that was had some men there. And I thought because of my experience and what I'd come through that it would be a good thing for me to talk to them. And he asked me a question. He says, "Are you still a gambler?" And I told him, "No." You know, I said, "I have not gambled in years and I don't have the desire for it. It's over." And he told me, "Well, I'm not sure if the guys here would be interested in hearing you, because we just believe that once a compulsive gambler, always a compulsive gambler, like alcoholic, you know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic." I knew that wasn't me. So in my second book, I had to do a self-evaluation. So I did a self-evaluation of my life and I tried to pull it all together. And I came to the conclusion that, no, I was not a compulsive gambler. The reason I did what I did was because I was afraid to fail. Listen to that carefully. I was afraid to fail. I had been this outstanding attorney, and everybody who knew me will tell you that. I mean, I was an awesome attorney. Not boasting, but I was good. And lots of clients, but a gambling, you know, I was into. And when I got to the point where I was losing everything, I didn't want to fail. And I thought that I could recoup by doing what I did. And that was what happened to me. So I admit that it was my being afraid to fail that caused me to do what I did. You know, I'd been on top and I just didn't want to go down because I didn't want folks to see me, you know, after being at the top and now I'm gone to the bottom. That was something that I couldn't take.
Afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. And failure, it sounds like, means to you, I no longer have the money and mm-hmm. the possessions that I once had.
That's exactly.
If I don't have money and possessions, that means I am a failure. Mm-hmm. That is my definition of success. Mm-hmm. So to recoup money mm-hmm. so I can buy more possessions, I'll just knock over a bank mm-hmm. and then I will have money and then I will look like a success. Mm-hmm. That seems on one level to make sense, and on a whole lot of other levels not to make a whole lot of sense. But I guess it is what it is. The choice was made. Mm-hmm. The consequences followed. So if at that point you had said, look at all the things I still have. I am an attorney. I do have this education. I've passed the bar. I'm really good at what I do. I have value. I am a success. And the external things, the money, I can earn that again. Because mm-hmm. I got what it takes.
That would have been the logical way to approach that. But when you lose your focus, it's not the logical way to look at it. I agree. I agree with you. How many times have I looked back over my life and said, "Oh boy, if I had just not lost my focus, you know, I could have gotten through this." But I lost focus, and I did something stupid. So, I've admitted it, and I've converted it, and so I just tell everybody when I'm talking with them. That's about all I can say to you. I don't, you know, I understand it, you know, and people who will say that it was stupid, it was crazy. I would say to them, you know, you are telling the truth because it was, you know, what else can I say?
It is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So what that makes me think is we should be a little bit concerned. Because if someone with that much background and education can fall like that, that means anyone could mm-hmm. do something stupid. Mm-hmm. And again, our stupid might look like this or like that. but our stupid can mess up our life. Mm-hmm. And so I guess what we want to do is to say, let's not be stupid. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can come up with something a little better and prevent that. And if we did do the stupid thing, then let's find a way to fix it. So prevention first, fix it second. But either way, let's be the best version of ourselves that we possibly can.
I agree. I'm with you wholeheartedly. I wish I could add something to what you said, because I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's what I've tried to do now, is to be the best possible version of myself that I can be. You know, I wasn't at that point in my life, but that happened in 1981. I came out in 1986. And from then on, 33 years, too much short of 33 years, pastoring the same church, I have tried to do the very best that I can. 11 years working as a sponsor of continuing legal education for the North Carolina State Bar, I've tried to do the very best that I can. I've been selected and appointed as president of many organizations, as moderators for the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. I have actually moved and done things that I never thought that I would do, but by the grace of God, I am still here and I'm still doing well.
That is fantastic. I wish that every person who had made a mistake had that kind of story, that kind of conclusion of just making things right. Now, some of the things that your experiences uniquely qualify you for is to be able to help other people who have been in a similar situation where they can say, oh, you understand. You understand what I've been through. And I think, and I'd love for you to kind of elaborate on this, what good things have come from this? Because I think good things can come from all of our circumstances. So how has this or anything from this been a benefit to other people?
Well, let me say this to you. When I first came out, I became involved with Prison Fellowship Ministry. I've done workshops in prisons, not just in North Carolina, but in other states. I did workshop out in Kansas. I've done workshops on death row here in North Carolina. I worked as 5 years in the Federal Correction Institution here in Butner, going in every week, doing a class on my book. My book, it was entitled Deal By Me, and I had a workbook with that book that we went through and did it at the Federal Correction Institution right here in North Carolina. I've been called by chaplains at the institutions to come in and share. I've gone and done ministry doing my pastorate at the prisons and institutions. I've been called as chaplains to come to other institutions where chaplains were involved to just talk with inmates. And of course, now that I am retired, I decided I want to do podcasting. And my podcast is about encouraging, inspiring, and transforming. And of course, when I'm called to do anything, I still do it. I do some church conflict resolution work. I do seminars. If persons call me, I'm an inspirational speaker. I don't mind sharing my story with anybody. When I go to preach, my wife would tell you, people, I don't try to hide anything. I let them know, look, where I've been. And if the Lord can do it for me, he can do it for you too, no matter what you've been through. That's the way I carry myself. So I'm not, you know, it's not that I've just tried to hide everything in the background and say nothing, you know, all that's gone. No, I lift it up because I think lifting it up helps other people along the way.
That is absolutely beautiful. Well done. And I love encouraging, inspiring, and transforming. That is what I am about as well. So if someone reads this book and they do this worksheet, what kinds of things are they going to learn?
Well, the book that I took into the prison was more or less about what they can learn while in prison, how they could care of themselves and make sure they don't get involved with this or that and come out to be a better person. That's what the workbook was about. But my last book that I started writing when COVID came in was the second edition of my first book. My first book was about my life as a lawyer, about being confined as an inmate, and of course, some about my transformation. My second book is when I talked to you about how I came to a realization, did a self-evaluation of my life, which is a second, I call the second edition of Deal by Me, which is a subtitle of self-evaluation. And that book, I talk about lots of things that I think would be a benefit to people. Things like you only have one shot, so don't miss. And hopefully that's something that really kind of get them to think about it. And I don't want to mess up. So, I want to do everything right. I talk about stuff like the darkest hour is just before dawn. And some things that I've already mentioned to you, like confront the source, talk about how an idle mind is the devil's workshop, you know. And one of the things that I really like that I shared, talked about how if you play with fire, you will get burned, you know, and that hit me because I was dealing with gambling. Okay. And so I talked about practicing humility, accepting responsibility, how crime does not pay, you know, and I think I mentioned to you how not to let your circumstance be an excuse, you know, another thing that I also mentioned to you was how I talked about I was afraid to fail. So these are some things that I share even now in my book when people read it that I think would be of help and a benefit to them.
Excellent. Everything that you've mentioned is wonderful. And isn't it interesting to be talking about you only get one chance mm-hmm. when we're talking about second chances? I had a friend of mine say, each of us live two lives. The second one begins the moment we realize we only get one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just that realizing, wow, what I do matters. There are consequences for my choices, consequences mm-hmm. for my action. I probably should make some good choices.
Yeah.
Another thing that you've mentioned several times, you started with faith, and it was having this faith at the end that made all the difference, that you knew that you could transform, that you could be a new person. So I would love for you to share a little bit about your beliefs about how faith and how our belief makes it so that we know and have confidence that I'm okay. Even though I've made a mistake, I am okay and I have value.
Well, my belief and my faith teaches me that we can be forgiven. And so if my faith teaches me that we can be forgiven, then that's one thing I can always hang on, because I messed up, yeah. But because I know that there is somebody who is forgiving and that I can grab hold of that and say, Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't have done what I did. But I know now that I'm on a different track. I've made this transformation. I've turned my life around. And I know that you have forgiven me. That in itself to me is very powerful. And when faith can kick in like that, then you don't have to worry about it. you know, you can go head on, and it doesn't bother what people say, you know, it doesn't bother you to share it, you know, and you move forward. That's the good thing about it for me, because I knew that I was forgiven. And to know that, you know, really helped me to move forward. Because if I didn't know that and felt that, then I'm wondering, you know, what good is all of this going to be to me? But when I know that, then it's much different for me.
And that makes all the difference. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves.
Exactly.
And being able to accept that and say, mm-hmm. this forgiveness that is offered freely, mm-hmm. is to. Now, mm-hmm. there's something you just said that was very interesting, and that is that you're open with your story, and you are not afraid of what people are going to say and what people are going to think. So I'm going to compare that just a little bit to, we're in a state of gambling, I've lost everything. And my idea of failure is that I don't have money and I don't have stuff. And I'm worried that other people are going to notice that and what they're going to think about me. And now we're to a new situation where some people might say, well, that's a failure. You did some time in jail. But it's to you, it's I'm not worried about what you think because I know I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I know I'm okay. And then you can move forward. And I just think that that's amazing. You obviously have had a tremendous amount of growth in believing in yourself and your worth and your value in a very untraditional trajectory. But well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is there anything else you want to make sure that we cover before we close today?
No, I would like to just make certain that you people know that I am in the podcasting business, and that to grab some of listen to some of my podcasts, Deal By Me podcasts. Of course, I do have books. And of course, they can get all that from my website. So these are some things that I would like for individuals to know. And that's about it. I'm very comfortable with who I am and where I am. Well, and whose I am.
Ooh, and whose I am. That is a nice conclusion. Mm-hmm. So I will make sure to have the link to your website so that people who are interested in your podcast and your books and all of your things are able to contact you. Thanks again for visiting with me today.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
In closing, I like to share a quote by Rick Price. He said, "Every moment of your life is a second chance." If any of our listeners are not happy with who and what you currently are, I invite you to embrace the opportunity of a second chance. See you next time on Linda's Corner.
Thanks for listening. Please share and subscribe to help us reach new listeners. And if you'd like to heal your life from the inside out, there is a free video series at hopeforhealingfoundation.org. Just click on the free stuff tab. I also invite you to grab a copy of one of my books, like Crushed, A Journey Through Depression, and You Got This, an action plan to calm fear, anxiety, worry, and stress. See you next time on Linda's Corner.